words. I do pray you'd help us be good students of your words. Help us be honest students of your words. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Numbers. Now, some folks who are hyper-dispensationalist, okay, you have like the Baptist. Years ago, John R. Rice said that dispensations was heresy. Okay, so that's an extreme on one side. And then you have hyper-dispensationalists who are extreme on the other side, where a hyper-dispensationalist will just basically cut up the Bible and limit us today to Paul's writings. Okay, and they're usually hyper-dispensationalists. I've always usually seen to be hyper-Calvinist also. Okay, a Calvinist may not be a hyper-dispensationalist, but the other way around is almost always that way. And so so for us to start going through Numbers to them would be maybe a waste of time. Okay, they overlook the fact that there are some things in the Bible that are universal. Okay, so let's say the hyper-dispensationalist is correct. So we'll go ahead and jump on that bandwagon and limit ourselves to Paul's writings. And then we'll move into Numbers. Okay, so Romans 15:4. So this is Paul's writings. So the hyper-dispensationalist would approve of this. But what this says, Romans 15:4. Hope I said that. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So anything written before Romans was written for our learning, comfort, hope, not doctrine, because we would get our doctrine from Paul. So that would encourage us to read the Old Testament and the Gospels. Let's try another one. 1 Corinthians 10. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10. Again, at this point, the Berean. They often call themselves Bereans. I remember years ago at the Bible church in DeMott, my dad had to deal with a few of these Bereans, and they would be hyper-dispensationalists. So 1 Corinthians 10, okay, in verse 1, he says, I would not that you should be ignorant. Okay, so that little phrase is found 6 times by Paul, once by Peter. So this is a topic we are not to ignore. That's what it means to be ignorant of something. You just ignore it. It's not saying a person's dumb or stupid. They've just ignored a topic. Okay, then, if you scroll down, come down here in verse 7, neither, 8, neither, 9, neither, 10, neither. Okay, in 8 has destroyed the serpents. And then 11. Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So that Paul is encouraging us, and that verse 9 is recorded in Numbers 21, and verse 8 is recorded in Numbers 25. So Paul is encouraging us to read, study all of the Bible. Okay, then 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. Again, these are three places that Paul mentioned. 1 Timothy 6, okay, verse 3 probably is good enough. He says, if any man teach otherwise, according to the previous two verses, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Okay, so there he is encouraging Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then Paul said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. So there's some variations in there. So we have three places that The Berean, or the hyperdispensationalist, would be glad that we read, but then they would be disappointed because now they got to study more than just 13 letters of the Bible. And so we go to other places. Now, then Paul said this in Acts 24, 14. Now, a lot of times, if you deal with a Pentecost or something, they say, well, we obey the book of Acts. They do not. Okay. But we'll let it slide. We believe all of the scriptures, but we rightly divide the doctrine. Acts 24, 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, that they would be the professing Jews, the Pharisees of the day. So they're calling Paul a heretic. So worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. See, he said believe. He didn't say obey. Believing. And Paul was obeying Deuteronomy 13 as Saul killing Christians. He was stretching it, but still in his mind he was obeying Deuteronomy 13. After he got saved, he discontinued. Is that my phone? I think that's mine. I said it there. Yeah, that is mine. So that's my broker. I was checking my stocks. So Paul stopped obeying Deuteronomy 13, and then gave the variation where he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So Paul gives these variations. The Bible is so precise, and if a person isn't following the preciseness of it, then we can kind of get off cattywampus and all that stuff. So now number. Now we can go to numbers. Years ago, I was watching Jeopardy, and they got to Final Jeopardy. Alex Trebek. And the topic was Old Testament. The answer was, and you're supposed to give the question, the answer was the fourth book in the Old Testament. And not one of the contestants knew it. They didn't even bet on it because none of them had a clue of it. And so, man, I would have loved to have been in that Jeopardy. I would have won that night. Yes, sirree. Easy. They didn't even know numbers. They didn't even know that. And these worldly smart people, they're smart in some areas, but not smart in the ways of God. So numbers. This is the fourth book of Moses called Numbers. Probably called Numbers because there's a census taking place, Numbers. Leviticus, you have Genesis, okay, Genesis, isn't that kind of profound and simple at the same time to name the first book in a series of books, Genesis? What are you going to name the first book, God? Beginning. I'm going to begin at the beginning. So Genesis, man starts off in a paradise, okay, and the last four or five words in Genesis, five words, in a coffin in Egypt. Man starts off here, ends up in a coffin in Egypt. How do we exit out of that? That's Exodus. Well, we got to exit out by trusting in the blood. That's Exodus. And then Leviticus is the Levi, or I think they would say Levi, but Levi. Is the holy walk, the word holy and holiness found 90 times in the 27 chapters. That is dealing with the walk of the Israeli under the religion of Judaism. And then Numbers deals with their work or service. The walk precedes the work. Okay, so Numbers deals with their work of service. And then we see that God is very precise in his work of service. The example of that is David. When David had a sincere desire to bring the Ark of the Covenant back, he's bringing it back. They put it on a new cart. They didn't put it on a used cart. Uzzah and Ahio was driving the cart, and they had potholes because he was probably coming through Chicago. And the guy put his hand to steady the ark, and God killed him on the spot. And so David says, if all else fails, read the instructions. He goes back to the instructions that he had forgotten. And he read, oh, what did we do the cart thing for? How dumb. I shouldn't have done that. Get them priests. Sanctify the priests. Get them staves, them rods. Put it in there. Carry that thing. And the second time around, they did God's work in God's methods and had a joyous result. The first work was they did God's work in man's methods, and a man got killed. And that would be similar to the contemporary churches where they say we're doing God's work, you know, through the rap music, through this stuff. And they're going to lose everything they have if they're saved at the judgment seat. And so the Lord is not in the business of killing people too often, you know. In the New Testament, when you read the book of Acts, you most certainly today don't want to go to an apostolic church. Because if you lie in an apostolic church, someone dies. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. That proves that these, I think we got out here at 41, the apostolics of Lowell. I bet you they've never had anybody die in that church. Oh, they never lied. So they probably got no liars in there. So, yeah, all the apostles are dead. So all those signs have gone by the wayside. And so today, of course, Satan counterfeits the signs of the apostles. And so in the charismatic movement, they counterfeit the apostolic signs. The Catholic Church counterfeits the apostolic succession. And both of those are designed. One is designed by Satan to pull people away from God through tradition. And the other one is designed to pull people of God away from God through their personal experiences. That's what they're designed to do. And, of course, this is what the devil's, if you want to call his ministry, is he wants to continue the confusion between our fellowship with God. So, okay, Numbers. Numbers is a continuation of the walk and service of children of Israel after their Exodus. Okay, and I remember hearing Sam Gipp say this years ago, and when he first said it, Sam usually says something that kind of you got to think about. And Jason Young says, Sam Gipp has taught Bible believers how to be smart, Alex. And that's pretty good. But several years ago, Sam Gipp, and I don't even know if he said it here, I think he did say it here, that the scariest book in the Bible to him is Numbers. And I started thinking, well, why would he say that? And he said, the reason why is it shows that God keeps accurate records. Meaning he's keeping accurate records on me. That's scary. Okay, and so I thought that was pretty instructive of Brother Sam. But in Numbers, we deal with some of the history of Israel as we look at backwards. Now, practically speaking, remember Moses was a shepherd. Okay, so Moses was probably raised in the West Point of Egypt. He had no doubt had high military training. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had the best education and everything. And, of course, God had him to lead the armies of Israel, about 600,000, I think, soldiers are what they had. And so he's a shepherd, and the Lord had to teach him how to be a shepherd. So he had 40 years of Egyptian training. Then he had 40 years on the backside of the desert. This is in Midian. Okay, and this is one time, I think it was down at one of the blowouts, or I forget who it was, but one of the PBI kids wanted to try to get a little notch in their gun to stump me. And so he said, I don't agree with you where, you know, the Red Sea crossing is. And my answer was, I don't care. And I said, okay, you tell me, where did Moses go on the backside of the desert? And I think he did remember, but I might have reminded him. Midian, right? Midian. Look on any of your Bible maps. Start in there. Look in any of them. Midian will be Saudi Arabia. And then I said, and Galatians says Arabia is where Mount Sinai is at. And fortunately, his answer was, you know, I never thought of that. Instead of proudly sticking in his position, he accepted it. And that was a blessing. That was a blessing to accept that. It's so easy. It was so very easy. And Exodus 3, verse 12, when Moses was on the backside of the desert in Midian, God said, you're going to serve me on this mountain. And that was Mount Sinai. Okay, and you can get on Google Earth, get on there and kind of, you know, go around that pretended thing that they got on there. But you get to the place and it's got, you go along the Red Sea on Aqaba side and you come down. There's a town called Abad. And then a little further, you make it bigger, you'll see Moses Well right there. And it's in Saudi Arabia. And that's why Ron Wyatt has a Red Sea crossing site, correct? So plus the evidence is there. So since Moses was a shepherd and Israel was considered a church in the wilderness, according to Acts 7, okay, it's not the New Testament church, but it was like a group of people, a called out people, type of a church in the wilderness. So Moses can give practical, in numbers, some practical ideas for pastors in a church. So you can run through numbers and get some practical things for the New Testament church. So numbers emphasizes the importance of one's work or service for God. Okay, but then again, we need to remember that this is under the religion of Judaism, and Judaism had an interwoven between the ceremonial, the civil, and the moral law, okay, where their politics ran through Judaism, where we do not have that. Our separation church and state doesn't mean we kick God out. It just means that the state can't overrun the church. Okay, that's what they're not supposed to do. But sadly, they do. And I remember reading one opinion in a court case about, like, when missionaries or evangelists come through and they sell books, there's no sales tax charged because you're not to tax the church. You're not to tax God, in essence. But, you know, try to get that passed, whatever. Okay, so now we can do a very novel thing, read the Bible while studying it. In the Christian colleges, they often read books about the Bible. And what some of them don't even read the Bible. They read a new Bible. And reading books about the Bible is about like eating a pitcher of a banana rather than eating the banana. So verse 1 of Numbers 1. And I'm not going to go verse by verse, I mean, as far as reading, because we get down to verse 5, by down to verse 13, I will be hearing some snoring, you know, through there. And I might be the one snoring. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness in Sinai. So that's in Saudi Arabia. Could have put a cross reference at Sinai, Galatians 4:24. In the tabernacle of the congregation, this tabernacle is a tent-like structure. Might be a circular tent. Okay, there's a guy who's been doing a study on that. I've been looking at it. I've not quite got to figure it out. In that culture, they would call that a yurt. Okay, the Indian teepee is like that. And it might be even based on a 3.14 circumference of the pi, you know, pi r round. So the pi I've seen are round, not square, but even at that. Okay, and so that's something I want to think about. A fella in Wisconsin kind of has done most of the study on this, and I did email him, and he said something like, I see that you're King James, and I said, yeah, a little bit. And he said, well, I probably won't be doing that. I said, okay, if you can't leave that subject alone, then we'll probably leave you alone. If you can come and give your expertise, great. Okay, but if you can't, you know, if you're not open to a different viewpoint of that, Okay, we'll just think on that one. But that's an interesting idea. The tabernacle, okay, then he says, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt is found 70 times, I think, over 70 times. Out of Egypt is about the same, over 70. Egypt, the house of bondage, occurs 10 times. So that's not a good comment on Egypt, is it? All those negative things. Saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of the fathers with the number of their names, every male by their polls. Now, again, people are going to see that. America's going to see that, say the Bible is male chauvinistic. Okay, if a person doesn't agree with that, take it up with God. Don't get mad at me. And this is between God and Israel anyway. And so here's what they did for their army, for their soldiers, verse 3, from 20 years old and upward. So 20, and I'm not quite sure about this, but in Vietnam, when a baby is born, they consider it 1 year old. And I think Israel, I'm not sure if Israel does that also, which in our mind would be 19, but let's say 20, okay? In our culture, originally is 21, okay? This is where we get the phrase free, white, and 21 comes from. In the original drawing up of America, it were the landowners that would, you know, pay the tax structure and was in the militia. And it was men. You know, I mean, that's, you know, it's not for a lady to be around a bunch of grunts. I mean, it's just not meant to be. But people are doing this. So from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his father. So tribe is something associated with Israel. And then we can see it in the end of the Bible. Okay, then these will be the each of the 12 tribes you have a certain man chosen. Now, a lot of those names are names you don't want to name your kids. It's a Bible name. It's a Bible name. Yeah, so is Satan. So it's just some of those names, you know, whatever. Okay, now 16. So, I skipped all those names. Okay, now, notice 16. These were the renown of the congregation. What does that mean, the renown? Princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. Princes would be the political aspect. Renown. Let's go to chapter 16, verse 2, so we can get a definition in English for the word renown. Chapter 16, verse 2, this would be Korah. Okay, but still, we're looking to define a word. In verse 2. And Gail Ripperinger wrote a good little book on that, a very small book, The Language of the King James Bible. So she shows some of these definitions that you get out of the English Bible. So in verse 2, they rose up before Moses, certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Do you see the definition, the connection? Renown means famous. Famous. Now let's take that renown and go back to Genesis 6, and we might be surprised with some of the famous people, the celebrities that we see on the telly. Genesis 6. In verse 4, there were giants. That's too hard to understand. So there were Nephilims. That's an easier understanding word in the New Bibles. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that, meaning there were giants afterwards. And there's evidences of giants all around the world, skeletons everywhere. Smithsonian has tried to bury it, meaning bury the giants. They don't want this truth to be known. So there were giants even after the flood, meaning there were angels that fell after the flood also. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. These would be the famous political leaders before the flood. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So we need to not look for a devil on every rock. We just need to be alert, be vigilant. Celebrities may not be what we think they are. Okay, and remember that Pharaoh, according to Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 29:2, Pharaoh, he said, was a dragon. How many Egyptians knew that? They saw a charismatic, debonair man. Ezekiel saw, behind the curtain, a dragon. Okay, and then Paul says, no marvel, for Satan himself would transform himself into angel of light. So a lot of times when we're stuck in a natural world, we forget the curtain, the invisible world. And it's not that we're all nervous and all that stuff. It's just that we're vigilant. We're just vigilant to these things. And renown. So we got that renown. Numbers chapter 1. There's defined. I tell you, what has happened to many Americans since Biden, since the actor-in-chief is in office, is that the lies are so blatant. I mean, a person can have both eyes shut and just kind of squinting, and they could see the lies. I mean, just, it is so blatant and in our face. You know, peaceful protest in the background. You take this back to Martin Luther King or Michael King. Never officially changed his name. His dad was a pastor and he wanted people to start calling him Martin Luther King. Never changed his name. He was Michael King. And you go back and do a little research. Peaceful protest, not on your life. Martin Luther King was a pervert, if truth be told. Will it be told? Because a judge sealed the files until 2027. Okay, and I'm not saying that you would say that to somebody, flat out, because they'd be so shocked. Okay, if you think he was a civil, okay, you think what you want to think, but communist pawn, puppeteer. He was a puppet of the communist agenda. Okay, and when he got shot, it's reported that Jesse Jackson was near and took some of the blood on him and cheap opportunist. And the Reverend Al Sharpton. Oh, it's so funny to watch James David Manning. Did you see him? I think it's so funny. He's a black guy in New York that stands outside of the NBC building and say, "Hey, Al, you dirty rat, come out here, Al. You got AIDS. You look skinny." It is the funniest thing in the world to watch him. I think he's an Acts 2:38 guy, but I just got to laugh at him. He's a real hoot. You can find he's the one that called Obama a long-legged Mac Daddy. And I didn't even know what that was, and so I had to learn what that was. But he is just ripping on them. This guy just rips on his people, and he's got some folks that love him in his town. He lives right amongst them. So you got to give him credit. So Numbers 1:16, and then if you kind of just speed read down through there, if anybody's having a hard time sleeping tonight, I would suggest this area. And what he's going to do is he's just going to run. You run a paragraph mark 17 to 22. So there's one tribe, 22 to 24. There's another 24 and so forth. So he's given very precise numbering of each of the tribes. And then in chapter 2, the Lord was so precise that he wanted these tribes camped out in a certain section around the tabernacle. Very precise. And the Lord's got his reasons. You know, we may not understand the reasons. We may not understand the reasons like the dress code that he had for Israel, where you couldn't have polyester or mixed clothing. You got to have cotton and wool. And Jan and I have just been coming across this idea, and you have to refresh. What the linens we got, what are they rated? 5,000. So what's 100? 100 is cotton. What's the average human body? It is 100. So your body frequency is 100. And so the clothing that you wear, the polyester, is like zero. Sometimes it's low. So our clothing is being absorbed. It's rubbing our skin. The skin is your largest organ. And the vibrations of our clothing can be taken as below 100. And then you have cotton, which we bought these fancy linens, and I don't sleep in them because I sleep by the fireplace to keep it stocked through the night. Okay, but those are to increase your body vibration. And I think the Lord had all this. He knew all this. And I think that's why he had that for those, the Jewish people. And I think their apparel, the Jewish apparel for the priest, had a vibration. And the vibration of the Ark of the Covenant, I think it was just an amazing vibration. Because we live on electromagnetism. Is it not true? It's an electromagnetic planet, or Earth, I guess you could say. And if the North Pole, which you can't see the North Pole on Google Earth, there's a section in it that don't let you see that. And you could almost see, when you look at it, you see there's a splice in there. And why ain't they letting us see over there? And you know, and the North Pole just might be the magnetic island 33 miles across where the water comes in and then it comes and circulates through the earth, creating electromagnetism. That might be where the Garden of Eden was, because there's four rivers that come in there. Mercator maps kind of did this, and they said if you get too close, that if you had a steel ship, magnetic north will pull the ship right down into that whirlpool. Now, nobody can go up and see it. They're not allowed to go up there. But to me, the Lord is just amazing in how man's got to try to hide things from us. And so it's just fascinating. But, you know, if you take a balloon, you know, and put it on your head, it shows the electrical energy that we have. And this is the science behind the energy healing. The double positives and the negative. It's all the science behind this. See, we're not voodoo stuff. You know, we joke about it. But, you know, we don't, you know, all that stuff. We look for the science behind the things. And it may be unusual science to us, but it's no different than a north-south pole magnet. Okay, I bought this circular magnetic field. Okay, so it looks like it's like in the shape of a compass, but it's about 18 inches. I haven't been able to find dry ice yet. I need to find some dry ice. And, you know, I think it's... Okay, no, it's not dry ice. It's nitrogen, I think. What is it? No, it's the Myers don't have. It's where it's extreme cold. So somebody help me figure that out, okay? If I get some of that, and what I have is the magnetic field around this circular thing, and then I have another magnetic. It's a device that I put in the. I think it's nitrogen. Liquid nitrogen. That's what I need to find. And I can put that thing, it will hover above my circular thing. It's quantum science. It's quantum levitation. And I can have it, and I can twist it, and it will stay right there. And then I can flip the board over, and it will be underneath of it. and it will just go right around that thing, and it stays wherever level you put it. So I got to find some liquid nitrogen. I got the container for it, but I haven't got the liquid nitrogen. Some welding place is supposed to be able to get it, but if anybody helped me figure that out. But that's just, to me, there's fascinating things the Lord has. So in chapter 2, he puts them around the tabernacle in a specific order. And the Lord has reasons. We may not figure it out, but God has reasons for it. The millennial time period is going to be a fascinating time. And I tell you, we're going to be elbowing each other when the Lord's teaching us something. You missed that one, didn't you? You missed that one, didn't you? Yeah, we sure missed that one. And it's going to be such great hope. Look forward to that. Okay, that's chapter 1 and 2. Yeah, Jen. Liquid nitrogen? Okay, well, I'll give it a shot. Then I'll bring my thing and show it to you. So, yeah, it's about like that one, that electric magnetic light that I used that one morning. You know, where it hovered above and nothing's between that. So, it's amazing. Okay, we'll stop and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray and ask you to help us to understand them. Lord, it's amazing, your infinite understanding and wisdom. Amazing. I just pray you'd help us to understand a little bit and to draw closer to you as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen.